Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the March 6, 2008 meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board. Let the record show that we have absent tonight Ed Ewing and Trudy O'Brien, both with illnesses. Beyond that, we have all other members present, and we have a quorum. I'd like the approval of the minutes. If there are any additions or corrections to the minutes, anyone?
All through the minutes.
All second.
Motions made by Bill and seconded by Gene to approve the minutes as presented. All those in favor? Opposed? The motion passes. Oral communication. At this point in time, we ask permit any member in the audience who has business to present to the board that is not on the agenda to step forward and state the business. Good evening.
Hi, I'm Neil. Everybody knows me. I was here earlier for the Record Parks Commission meeting, and I'm just going to say what I said earlier to them. I want to congratulate the city on the Harbor Walk project. It is absolutely beautiful. It's a great addition to our waterfront, and I think you guys did a really good job with it. And the other thing that I said to the Rec and Parks Commission was they talk about a volleyball court, and I would like that to be a sand volleyball court. I don't know which project you're going to pick or whatever, but volleyball court is in all of them, and I would like it to be a sand volleyball court. Really cheap, a couple of posts in the ground. People bring their own nets, they bring their own volleyball, and they have fun, and I think it'd be a great addition. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think out in that location, over time, it would be a sand court anyway. So, anyone else? Okay, we'll get on with the agenda then. First on our agenda is the a fisheries update by Jeremiah O'Brien. Jeremiah, if you'll step forward and for the viewing public, state your name and position.
My name is Jeremiah O'Brien, currently president of the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Organization. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen of the Harbor Advisory Board and the Harbor Department. Briefly, I'm not going to hold you up because there's so many different things we could talk about here. So if you would like, I just would suggest if you would like, in the past with the Harbor Advisory Committee, we had various fishermen present some of the fishery. Commercial fishing is dead in our county. We also have Port San Luis Commercial Fishermen's Organization to the south of us, and I don't know the number of members in their organization. I hope that it's many, but we do have 85 paid members at last count in our membership. So there is, that's a fairly significant amount for a port like the size of Morro Bay. And all of the fishermen in Morro Bay are not members of the organization. You know, many opt not to be, which is certainly their prerogative. And so it does not reflect the entire community. So fishing is still alive. I won't go as far as to say well, but it's still alive, and many ladies and gentlemen are making their living from it. We have members in it that fish swordfish, shark, salmon, tuna, various species of tuna, crab, both Rock and Dungeness Crab, and many that still pursue rock cod, although they have to be outside of the rock cod conservation area, which is outside of 150 fathoms is where they have to ply their trade, so that limits them to the species that they have access to. And there's black cod fisheries still going in town, so there is some activity. Also, I'd just like to mention that there's a movement currently. It's called the exempted fisheries permit that was granted from Pacific Fisheries Management Council to us, and we are hoping that 6 boats will be employed in this from the area. The Management Council has granted us a significant amount of various species of rock cod and so forth that will, it'll be a, what's called a separate allocation. It's an allocation not over and above what was allocated, but just to give you an example, currently if you were to participate, say, in a black cod fishery, you're allowed 300 pounds a day, or I believe 750 pounds a week. That's not a whole lot. We have to travel 18 miles minimum each way. So you've got 6 hours of traveling. If you're going to work for a daily bag limit, you travel 6 hours, and then you go to, aggregately, that's round trip. And you still have to find time to work. So if you're working 8 hours, you're putting in 14, 15-hour day. So we'll have 6 boats participating in this. They will be able to access much more than what's currently allowed on a daily or a weekly bag limit. This is done in conjunction with the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Organization, the Port St. Louis Commercial Fishermen's Organization, Port St. Louis Harbor Department, the City of Morro Bay, and Morro Bay Harbor Department, the Environmental Defense, and the Nature Conservancy. We are gaining access to these fish through permits that are currently held by the Nature Conservancy. They purchase 6 trawlers, or the permits, and in some cases the trawlers from the City of Morro Bay, which virtually eliminated our trawl fleet. They have one of those trawlers they have put back into service, and it's currently working. Ed Ewing, as a matter of fact, is the gentleman pursuing that, and he's doing very well and supplying quite a bit of fish to Morro Bay and the county here. So we're hoping that by doing this, this is establishing our efforts are to establish a regional fishing organization. The reallocation of the Magnuson-Stevens Act has verbiage in the act about regional fishing organizations, but no one has actually defined one. No one in the government has actually defined one yet. So we are hoping this will help them to define a regional fishing organization. And we are hoping that this will be the first on this coast and hopefully the first of many. And there's still regulation piling and heaping up on us. At some point, it has to turn around. As a matter of fact, we just had, I don't want to get too far off, we just had a communication that the Center for Biodiversity and Turtle Island Restoration Foundation, who have been severely anti-swordfish to the American fleet, as a matter of fact, responsible for helping to bring our fleet down from 150 participants to currently now there's probably 35, no more than 40 active participants in that fishery. I am one of them. And they just came out with an article yesterday. It was a revelation that all of our imported swordfish which is amounts to about 20 million pounds a year, 20 million pounds a year, is being caught by countries with hardly any rules and regulations and unsustainably. Oh, wow, who would ever thought that? When we are the heaviest, the most regulated fisheries on earth. There's no other country on earth with fisheries regulations like we have here. So fortunately, maybe people are just starting to wake up and go, wow, you know, our fisheries are sustainable, our fisheries are regulated, and 85% of the seafood imported to the United States of America is coming from other countries now. So, any more questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That's very informative to me anyway, and I hope the rest of the board or the viewing public. So thank you very much.
Jim, by the way, any time that you'd like someone from the organization for whatever reason to do with fisheries, we'd be happy to supply somebody to come up and address.
One other question. I glanced at the article that I believe Lori French wrote about the GPS system that all the fishermen have to buy. Was that a pretty accurate article in the paper, if I may ask? Are you familiar with the article that she wrote?
Yes, I am. Actually, I did not read the article in the paper, although Lori supplied me with papers prior.
So I guess the question is that are you required and mandated by law to buy a GPS system for...
Bill, unfortunately, it's not a GPS. Every vessel carries a GPS system. That is a VMS, which is a vessel monitoring system. And every boat that participates in any ground fishery right now, and a ground fish is any rock cod or anything that's not a pelagic, is required to have that system on their boat. They cannot untie their boat from the dock. If the system fails, you are out of business until you or someone correct that system and get it back online. Unfortunately for people in Morro Bay, we don't have the luxury of electronics shops like we used to have here. And so you would have to have somebody come up from Santa Barbara or down from Moss Landing to rectify the problem. And until that, you're out of business. So yes, that vessel monitoring system is a system that tracks your whereabouts 24 hours a day, the whereabouts of your vessel, 24 hours a day, and is currently required again for all participants in the ground fishery. It's unbelievable. It's been going on for quite a few years. We've kicked and screamed and fought against it, and it's just one of the sad realities, unfortunately, that we're dealing with. You probably don't know where 50% of the child molesters in this county are right now, but you can sleep well knowing that you know where every single fisherman is.
But I'll make a comment, Mr. Chairman. When we had done, and I'd forgotten about it until Jeremiah mentioned just now, but some years ago we had a series of presentations on gear types from some of the commercial fishermen, and I think Jeremiah suggested that we might do that again, and I thought that was pretty interesting. If there's interest in the board, we could try and arrange up your next meeting.
I certainly would agree to that. I find it interesting, and I think that large portion of the viewing public would too. Beyond that, it'll be a good educational vehicle to educate the public regarding problems of the fisheries in Morro Bay. Okay, we'll go on to the next item on the agenda, which
I'd like to do tonight is take a moment and really look at three different concepts and discuss those that attempt to address and incorporate both the boating access facility and then the recreational aspects of this area along the Embarcadero and the waterfront. And also just want to note, too, that these were developed consistent with the land use zoning, the land use designations for the area. So with that as a little bit of background, what I'd like to do is just sort of key everyone back into our study area, which is essentially from the intake structure all the way out along the Coleman Drive and back out to the Target Rock area by the Rock, as well as up Embarcadero Extension on the east side all the way up to the Morro Creek, which extends a little bit off of this slide. The concept A, we'll take a look at that first. And the way I'd like to proceed with this is first look at the concept, general components to it, and then enlarge a couple of the areas to show in a little greater detail some of to highlight some of the other elements. And as we move forward, then I'll highlight some of the chief differences between concepts A, B, and C as we move on through. On concept A, wanted to highlight the boating access facility, as you notice, is located between Embarcadero and Coleman and the Harbor Walk in the area that now has where the skate park is located. And that's where the primary boating access facilities would be. And in addition to that, the dry storage facilities are located then up Embarcadero or Embarcadero Extension towards Morro Creek. And that location will show up consistently in all three options, and that was for good reason. It makes a lot of sense to place that storage out there, and there's room to have that occur. And then looking at the recreational facilities in Concept A, you'll note that they're primarily located out in the Target Rock area, so shifted out that direction. Now, focusing a little more specifically on some of the detail, if we look at the boating access facility area of Concept A. Oops, let me go back. The key components, if you'll notice, are the haul out and travel lift and jib crane. And adjacent to that is a boat repair yard. And part of that facility would include a small boat trailer parking area. And as you move back toward Embarcadero, heading on Coleman Drive, we have potential for a harbor facility and some marine commercial uses in there. As we continue to move back toward where the Harbor Walk trailhead is now by the intake structure, we have some ability to incorporate some recreational component like picnicking along the boardwalk in that area, consistent with that trailhead. And as we move, again, Embarcadero Extension, we have a location shown for the dry boats, for the dry storage. And the recreational facilities, then, as we look out toward Target Rock, the major elements of this include realigning the road somewhat and creating a turnaround area to alleviate some of the congestion that happens when the gate to the state park property is closed down so we can facilitate movement back out. And then providing an extension of the pedestrian component of the Harbor Walk, the boardwalk component, to the waterfront side, and then coming back along the roadside to create a bit of a loop. The parking is maintained as is, so currently you can park head in and view back to the city, back to the water. That configuration remains the same in this concept. You can still park in your car and utilize that space. What's nice about this concept, it creates this closed-in loop, which creates some flexible recreational space. It also creates a great setup for the memorial statue that has been talked about in the past. Provides some continued access to some of the fishing spots, as well as for viewing back to the city and over the water from without being in your vehicle, so using some of the benches and the tables that are out there. So moving on to concept B, it's very similar to concept A.
Mike, may I ask just one question before you move on?
Mm-hmm.
The area that you were just talking about, which is in green, that area you said was parking, or is it grass? Because I see cars parked. Models of cars.
If you look at the laser on screen, the parking would occur pulling off the roadway into an unpaved area to just use it in a similar fashion as it's used today. The green really represents an area of some sort of potential recreational use. Oh. It isn't intended to be grass or anything, but green typically evokes a park, so we use that as a color for the concept. to help illustrate that point.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Trocadero and capitalizing on that space on the east side of the road. And again, the dry storage remains in the same spot as in Concept A. The recreational facilities begin to migrate a little bit in that we've got an opportunity now to blend in some more of the active recreational components into the area around Mother's Beach and sort of into the bend where it transitions from Embarcadero to Coleman. And then we also have recreational facilities remaining at the Target Rock area. And to highlight a little bit more the area around the Coleman and Embarcadero, again, we have the haul out and travel lift and the jib crane and the boat storage. And what I should note, too, is in Concept A, both the boardwalk and the bike path remain as they are. So the access to the crane for the jib crane and the haul out travel path are at the same grade as the boardwalk, so actually it wouldn't necessitate rebuilding that section. It would have to be some understanding of the crossing that would occur, but essentially occurs at the same grade. And as we move on back toward Embarcadero off of Coleman, we have the ability to look at integrating some more picnicking and perhaps some more active play. And again, in both A and B, as well in Concept C, the parking and the access to Mother's Beach remains in all three of those scenarios. And then as we continue back down, we begin to tie into the existing trailhead for the Harbor Walk. And then you see the Marine Commercial then located on the east side of Embarcadero. And then again, dry storage is in the long-term storage is in the same area. Moving back out to Target Rock, the recreational facilities are quite similar to Concept A. The main difference is that the intensity would decrease if we're able to pull in some of the more active activities that would occur here back toward the more active portion of the waterfront. This would likely be even more of a passive area, but yet still provides an opportunity to extend the harbor walk, the boardwalk component, provides a spot for viewing and fishing and the memorial statues. Again, the parking configuration works in the same manner. It allows you to still pull in there, head in, and view out over the water. The road is also realigned in this scenario, and the turnaround is maintained. And then finally, Concept C, which has the most significant differences, and I'll highlight a couple of those. First, the boating access facilities now are primarily located on the east side of Embarcadero, and the haul out is located adjacent to the intake structure. And the recreational facilities are primarily developed within the space between Embarcadero, Coleman, and the Harbor Walk, essentially where the skate park is now in that area. And there's still some degree of recreational facilities out toward Target Rock, but very low usage, primarily the extension of the boardwalk component of the Harbor Walk. And to highlight back into the where the boating access facilities are, and that we have the haul out and travel lift are now located next to the intake along with the jib crane. And the travel path now crosses Embarcadero and follows back to a boat repair yard, on the east side of Embarcadero, and allows for, again, the Marine Commercial to remain on the east side and coupled up with that access road, and as well as providing the potential for harbor facility out in this area, too, adjacent to the haul-out areas. And the recreational facilities, as you'll note now, provide more opportunity here for some more active spot, like sand volleyball courts, some seating, picnicking areas, view areas, some active play areas, and a little more some potential for more passive seating, some additional public parking that could serve both the commercial and the recreational facilities. And again, the public parking here and access to Mother's Beach is maintained in this concept as well. And then while the dry storage remains the same, there are some changes in this concept that occur relative to the boat facilities. And that is, you can see the boat repair yard here, which in the concepts A and B, we had approximated about six spaces. You know, with going through a design process would determine the precise number. But in this scenario, there's more space to utilize to perhaps have a more usable area for that boatyard. There's also a potential future expansion area, and there's ability to maybe capture a little more trailered parking as well. And then the recreational facilities on Concept C are greatly reduced out towards the Target Rock area. This concept was essentially intended to show the potential to extend a portion of the Harbor Walk, again picking up the when the slide comes back up, I'll give you an indication of where it is up there.
So it would probably be to the east of Target Rock, though?
Well, in the diagrams, yeah, Target Rock's right out in this area right here. Essentially, well, to give you a better location of the turnaround, essentially this edge of the turnaround would be within a few feet of where the yellow gate is now.
Oh, okay.
That may put a better face on it.
I'd like to hear what the rest of the board has to say first.
Okay. Michelle?
I guess if I had to choose one, A and C. The only thing I don't really like about B is that the marine commercial area is so far away from the boats. And there's not, it seems to me like there should be a little more parking near the boats. Cars do have to kind of drive in a boatyard to at least offload stuff. And I have a question on C. Where's the property lines there? Is the future expansion, is that the area that the city doesn't own? Is that the Den Dolt?
Roughly.
And then how does the parking there fit in? Is that, that's not property the city owns either?
No. It's, well, let me get to the slide there. Referring to this right here?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering where the property lines are. Are they right at the edges?
Like
the top of the boat repair and the bottom of the dry storage?
The property lines essentially, and you know, give or take a few feet, run over here, out into the dune, and then back that way. So the boatyard, the parking out here, would fall on land that the city already controls. The future expansion area and some of this parking in front of it then would be dependent upon acquisition of that land in the future.
So I guess those are my only comments, is I'd like to see if, you know, I know the boatyard area is small in A and B, but if there was a way to put some parking closer to that, even if it was just temporary, a few spots, I'd like to see that.
You're referring to C?
A, and, sorry, a lot of papers here. A and B, I believe.
Parking closer to the marine commercial area. Is that what you like?
Parking closer to the boat repair yard.
Oh.
A few more spots.
More than what they
should. It's hard to tell how close, like on A, how close the parking to the west is of the boat yard.
Yeah, it's a severely constrained strip of land through there. So we have some parking shown as much as we could, you know, do at this level. But that could be entertained at a higher design level, too.
Yeah. Well, way over here.
They don't
kill
me.
Yeah, that's what I'm. I don't know. I'm be hard to get to walk all your tools and parts and propellers and stuff over to your boat. Just looks like you'd be blocking traffic trying to even get to your boat.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. Lynn?
Yeah, I have a couple of comments and questions. One, it shows about six on concept A and B, six places to have six boats hauled.
Yeah. Coast Guard came to us and suddenly said they had money to build an office. Where could we put it? We'd probably say, how about over there?
Yeah. The road that the travel lift would carry the boats on concept C, that's going around and in back of, or it would be to the east of the marine commercial area,
right here.
Which means you would not be really interfering with traffic other than just the crossing.
Yeah, concept C has the least conflict with vehicular traffic on Embarcadero. Both A and B, and we did talk with Port San Luis on how the facility operates and how this A and B might be affected. And A and B would require the use of Embarcadero to move the travel lift on a period mm-hmm. of time to bring the boats into the boat repair yard. And that section of road would need to be strengthened as well to handle that.
Right. Okay. Just eyeballing it, I mean, this boat repair area looks like it's at least twice as big as A and B.
There's certainly more room over there.
Maybe three times as big. And is there any problem with having that much parking and the boat repair? Is all of that land, do we have title to it? Does the city have title to that land? And the other question is, isn't that the environmentally sensitive habitat, and how do we confront that problem?
Well, the first part of that question, and you're looking at this concept C with the expansion
yes.
area, right? The parking here was moved forward from CMA's plan and fit into this site, so it may not reflect the current condition of here. At a concept level, we utilize that work that had been done. It seemed made a lot of sense to build off of that. So the amount of parking that's shown here as a detailed design move forward will likely change.
Right.
But in terms of control from owning property ownership, like we mentioned before, that right now the city does not control roughly the shape that I'm showing with the laser pointer, but the area that's shown in the white hatch mm-hmm. is currently not controlled by the city.
Okay.
And then regarding the environmental questions, there's been a lot of study done in this area, and we would have to mitigate that somehow, because we are in an area that the Coastal Commission thinks is environmentally sensitive habitat. There's been other biological studies done by at least two companies that contradict that view. So there has to be some meeting of the minds and compromise in the end on exactly how this would come forward. But the purpose of this effort was to look at what facilities does the city need and where do they make the most sense to occur, and then from that point begin the dialogue with Coastal Commission, any of the other resource agencies that we would deal with, to finally end up at the plan that could be supported by all.
I understand you people have had contact with the Coastal Commission in discussing some of these problems, or is that erroneous?
We've had conversations in developing the Harbor Walk, and we attempted to get this information in front of them on these concepts, and other than a casual conversation, we haven't had any formal conversations or discussions about this. But mm-hmm. based on the results of the Harbor Walk project, we have a good understanding of where they stand.
And you think it would be possible that we could change their minds?
I think.
Or mitigate.
I think there's a good potential to negotiate and figure out what would be the best utilization of the land for all, for both okay. environmental, for the harbor facility needs.
Mm-hmm. Also on Plan C, on Concept C, there's, with the jib crane, there's several slips available, which don't really work out very well on A and B.
Right. And this was actually, this configuration was in CMA's earlier plan with these
okay.
slips adjacent to the jib crane. So we were able to utilize that in this particular area.
That's all my comments.
Thank you, Lynn. Bill?
You know, the last meeting, I thought that the A and B would be a good idea, but when you came back and I'm seeing there's only six spots, I mean, there was a topic, there was a discussion that there'd be enough room for 20 boats. You know, this kind of enlightens me a little bit to really lean toward the C concept if, i.e., we can mitigate some of the concerns on sensitive areas, and there is no...
Alternative C, but a couple of questions. Last month we talked about maybe perhaps an alternative to a travel lift, and you guys were going to look into that. Maybe something that would pick up a catamaran or a trimaran or something like that, a little wider. I don't know whether you guys have looked into that or not. Somebody from last month suggested some other types of slipways or something like that. My next question was that on the trailable boats with the jib crane, is this going to be taking the place of our existing boat launch facility to a large degree and the amount of traffic that that will generate? Does that, I mean, if you're coming over from the valley, are you going to bring your boat down here to Coleman Beach and try to launch it right there? Is that what I'm seeing?
So maybe I'll try and answer those. So this is a conceptual plan.
Right.
We did have comment from a member of the public last month suggesting that the haul out should be able to haul out wider boats, and I don't think that was the task we gave RRM at this point. That would really be a little further down the road in design phase, maybe. But so in fairness to Mike, I don't think they've analyzed that. They've just tried to conceptually show the travel of pier in there. When we went through the whole boating access facility plan and the committee, I think that the vision for this jib crane and these facility here was that it would supplement the existing boat launch ramp and assist in getting the vessels that were in dry storage that might be able to use it, you know, not having to travel down Embarcadero. And so I think that was the concept.
Okay. And then on my last comment on C, A, B, and C, the citizens of Morro Bay like to be able to drive their cars and park and look at the waterfront and eat their lunch. And I like C that down here by the turnaround facility where you have an area, a large area, for the citizens of Morro Bay to come and park and spend their lunch hour, you know, and I'd hate to lose anything like that, so... I like concept C.
Yeah, each of the three concepts are intended to maintain that as well. So if you want to use your vehicle to enjoy the bay, you can do that. If you choose to get out on bike or foot, you can do that too.
I appreciate these nice color readable concept plans. These are great. And I guess what I was saying on B with the parking is I would like to see, I don't know if the harbor facility could be over where the marine and commercial buildings are, and then move the marine and commercial buildings over closer to the boatyard with some parking there, even if it had to be smaller, and just totally get rid of the group and picnic and recreation area, because that's... You know, people can use the beach or go out to the Target Rock area there. And then as far as the amount of spots for boats, I know when I haul out, I take about 3 to 5 days to fix my boat up. And if something goes horribly wrong, it'll take 10 days. Or if we do a full paint job, it'll take about 10 days. That's if you're getting them in and out of the water and not just sitting there waiting for the tide for 30 to 90 days. But so I think a few spots would be fine. I don't think we need a whole lot.
Sure, Lynn, go ahead.
The marine commercial area shown on Concept C is substantial. I think it's really big compared to the marine commercial area shown on A and B, and I'm sort of and it's also much closer to the road and the haul-out ramp. I'm sort of wondering if we couldn't perhaps use some of that as boat repair, thus shortening the distance that the travel lift would run.
Yeah, that's a good point, and certainly that can be addressed at a higher level. This is really it's meant to be a concept to understand. To answer the question, can we really fit all this stuff in this area?
And
we can. There would need to be a higher level of detail.
Okay.
So that certainly could be an outcome of that process too.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? I know there's been some differences or difference of opinion on the board regarding where the haul out run direct access to the boat repair or to the dry storage. And another part is that shows in Part C there's some slips adjacent to the haul out area, which I think is also an important part. Boat comes in, one's using the lift, it has to have some place to tie up and to wait for its turn. The same thing with letting the boats back into the water. So even if we went with B or A, I think there would have to be some kind of something more than just a dock, for instance, for the jib crane. Mike, when you showed on Concept C, you showed where the roughly where the property boundaries are for the boatyard, and that included the parking lot. When you pointed to the part that is indicated as future expansion, you indicated maybe that extends out beyond the parking there and the roadway. Is that roadway not clear?
The property boundary, the parcel boundary actually extends across Embarcadero into the dune a little bit and then back.
And then back. So access to that road and use for that road is up in the air no matter which of these plans.
I'd have to double check with planning and probably with Rob, but I understand that to be an easement, so the road easement's there.
Okay. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that we could make it a permanent if it's not property that we have control over. But if it is an easement, I guess we have
a road right of way.
Yeah. Was the environmental sensitive habitat designation to that area a consequence of mitigation that went on in the process of doing the boardwalk?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a mitigation. It was a determination made by coastal staff. Frankly, regardless of any specific project, their opinion is that that's an environmentally sensitive habitat area, and so that colors their decision making for any project that comes forward. This project, the Harbor Walk, or any future project.
So, but that decision and that designation was a relatively recent one. It wasn't one that's been hanging around there for years.
I don't know when the ESHA designation was provided. When we went forward with the Harbor Walk, there was some clarity given as to where that applied to, but that concept was there prior to that project. So I'm not sure when that originated.
Okay.
For example, when Duke Energy was exploring the modernization plans, that ESHA concept was around at that time, which predates the Harbor Walk project as well.
Okay. The dry storage area is also under that designation. Is that correct?
It's in that area, yeah. We'd have to find a way to make that work back there. Some of that area, by the way, is currently used and that's not designated as ESHA. It's already been disturbed, so we can capitalize on some of that as well.
Yeah. So it might not be much more of an effort to clear the area on Plan C that's designated as a boat repair as we go about clearing the designation for the dry storage.
Yeah, if we want to provide a little more detail, there were two studies. Well, there was a major study done during the modernization process that delineated where the boundaries for sensitive habitat were. And then that was used as a baseline for trying to process the coastal permit for Harbor Walk. And that essentially had a boundary limit of that sensitive habitat of about cutting right through here, meaning that everything above the pointer was maybe considered, but below was not considered as sensitive habitat. Mm. Coastal Commission has a little different take on that, but the discussion hasn't really been had to a high level of detail to focus in on specifically how we work with the overall, in the overall environmental setting. That would still need to occur. But there's at least been some prior studies that do show there is a delineation in there, and that mm-hmm. some of the facilities proposed in this project seem to fall outside that sensitive habitat area.
Okay.
Other comment. I think that on number C, too, at least from the initial discussion that we had with Parks and Rec, which, you know, this was kind of supposed to be a joint project, I think they would be more than in favor of number C also, and also it seems like with the public, too. So just a point in discussion here, if we can make number C work, I think that would probably be the most universal accepted concept, personally.
Gene? Require us to choose at this point one of these plans to send forward to the City Council. But considering that Ed Ewing has been involved with this project from the beginning forever, and realizing that he has a preference for the location of the haul-out reflected in A or B, and the consensus of this group, I think, is for C, rather than us making or producing a resolution at this point, I would like the board to consider postponing that until next month with the hopes that Ed will be back and able to put forth his 2 cents or 4 cents. Any
motion or recommendation?
No, we'll just postpone the making of a recommendation. It'll become an item on the agenda for next month. Is that okay? Okay. Is that okay with you, Rick?
Yeah, that's fine. I think we tentatively we're putting this on Council's agenda toward the end of April, so it doesn't hold anything up, I don't think.
Okay.
So we'll have a meeting in April.
Yes, as long as there's a quorum of you, yes. There should be a... Yeah. Yeah, and this will be... And we'll schedule this as an agenda item. The action will be continued until that date, is my understanding of your request. And I don't think we'll... So you... I probably won't ask Mike to come back. We'll provide you these pictures and let him give him the night off.
Do you, Mike, do you have a set or two more of these pictures to provide the two board members that are absent?
Yes, I'll give those to Rick before I go tonight. And if you need any other copies, Rick can just let me know and I can provide as many packets as you need.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for the presentation. Okay. The next item on our agenda is the Harbor Department Master Fee Schedule Review. Each of you have in your packets a fee schedule and the proposed increases. Rick, do you want to give us a quick review of this?
Sure. And my voice isn't too good tonight either, so I'm going to be as brief as you'll let me. But we haven't adjusted our fees for consumer price index changes since 2005. This is a proposal to adjust all our fees, with one exception that's noted here that's slightly different. But the vast majority of our fees, which represent about $260,000 a year in revenue to the Harbor Department. Fees such as moorings, use of the T-pier, slips, and some other odd fees. We would adjust those approximately 12%. And the table that's attached shows the adjustment in dollar terms exactly, and then a proposed rate, which is slightly rounded to the nearest penny in most cases, or to the nearest 5 cents, but in a couple of the smaller fees, the nearest penny, for example, the North T-pier, the daily T-pier rate would be adjusted to 17 cents per foot per day. And we would propose to make this effective July 1. It would take City Council action by resolution to adopt the revised master fee schedule, so this is just the first step to receive a recommendation from the Harbor Advisory Board, yes or no. And then we will take this to council in form of a resolution sometime over the next month or two and recommend to them that it be adopted effective July 1. Thank you.
Yes, we used to raise our fees every year, and then for some reason or other we went to a bi-yearly fee increase, and now we're proposing to go back to a year?
That would be our preferred method. We got out of initially annual CPI increases, I think, in sometime around the mid-90s when the City Council at that time decided they did not want to do CPI increases. And so we've had some fits and starts since that policy-level decision at the City Council. As councils have changed, it's my feeling now that it is a better policy for the city, frankly, to have annual CPI adjustments, and we will recommend that be established again, but it's up to them, however they want to handle it. Use. And that totaled over the 3 years that she used would head us to a 12% adjustment on July 1.
So we're basically looking at your proposed rates pretty much in line with that.
Yes.
In all actuality. Some is a little lower and some is a little higher, but nothing really out of the ordinary, correct?
That's correct.
When would this take effect?
We propose that it should take effect in July 1. There's some administrative reasons to do that because we do offer annual fee payments, annual fee prepayments. If you pay the full fee in advance, in some cases you get a 10% discount, so that'll make it easier to understand that. That happens on a period of 30 days, I think, in July, that you can make those annual payments and receive the 10% discount. So,
any other comments? My opinion regarding the fee increase is one that certainly it's difficult on all of us to face the increased costs of things, but that's part of the reality that we all face as well, that everybody's expenses go up. A couple of years ago when sitting on this board, we looked at this same situation. I was at that time, and I still am at this time, in favor of a annual CPI increase, mostly because even though I enjoy not having something go up in cost to me each year or every year, I also don't like having large increases in what I am charged. And I used as an example last time the slip fees at the State Park Marina, which hadn't been raised for 4 or 5 years, then all of a sudden were kicked up about 25%, and that was harder to come up with than an increase of 4%. So I am in favor of using the CPI and having it annually adjusted, and that's one issue. The other is I see the necessity of an increase, and I support the effort on the Harbor Department and ultimately the City Council to raise fees. That's what I have to say.
Yeah, the lease site administration or service fees, that is an additional fee that the lessees pay in addition to their rent? What does that mean?
We charge a processing fee for requests for amendments or contractually required approval of subleases. So we have a form, and in the example, it might be easiest to use an example of a sublease approval request. All of our leases require city prior approval of any of the subleases in the sites. Many of the sites, especially the more modern developments, such as Marina Square, have multiple 12, 14 different subleases. So in those case of the modern master lease format, we've made those sublease requests administrative. So there's a fee of $65, I think, yes, for the departmental approval of sublessees, and it's related to our processing costs. And but those, some of the older leases require subleases to be approved by the City Council. In that case, then the fee is, because there's quite a bit more paperwork, packet needs to be put together, a lot more people's time involved, $325.
Okay. There's not many of the old leases left, are there?
It's just off the top of my head. I'd say we have 8 or 10 that still require City Council approval of subleases,
the old
Pipkin leases and the county leases.
My other question is on the vessel assistance. So when you assist a vessel, such as in this list, it says rescue vessel stuck in mud, then those people would get a bill for that amount?
Most of our vessel assists and emergency response are not charged. Almost all we do as courtesy service to boaters. Our rules and regulations do allow us to charge folks who are chronic users or abusers of the request for assistance. Or most often this fee is set in the case of them recently. We charged when the National Guard did the ad with all the helicopters and stuff on the beach, and when they require, you might see us use that charge in that case.
Okay. Thank you. My last comment is I totally agree with annual increases of a small amount so that you don't run into big amounts, and if you get too far ahead of the CPI, you can always decline to make the increase for a year. If they go too high, sometimes the CPI doesn't really reflect what's going on in the economy, in my opinion.
If only salaries would go up proportionately, it'd be okay, huh? Any other questions? I have one comment to make, and I don't know a better way to make it, but when I arrived here tonight, there was a letter addressed to the Harbor Advisory Board from, and I'm hoping this name will be, I'll get it right, but it looks like Marlise Battistella, who's president of the Central Coast Women for Fisheries. And she writes, and I'm just going to summarize the letter since I didn't have an opportunity to photocopy it for the rest of you, but she writes on behalf of the commercial fishing fleet, she argues that they've been severely impacted by excessive fishing regulations. They are also financially impacted by the vessel monitoring system requirements that Jeremiah was speaking to earlier. It costs between $40 and $60 a month for each boat. And she mentions the increased cost of fuel, and she requests that there be some additional consideration given to the commercial fishing slip monthly rate, that it be, well, she requests some consideration that it not be increased. That's just a summary of her letter. I think, and Rick, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong about this, but the Harbor Department makes this recommendation to the City Council. Do you expect us, as a Harbor Advisory Board, to do anything more than indicate our support for your request, or?
No, and you really don't even need to do that. I feel obligated, certainly, to run these issues by you. I would appreciate, and I put in the staff report, if you feel it's appropriate and would like to make a recommendation of support for the, it's pretty hard because a number of you are actually going to be seeing the end result of this, and you know nobody wants to vote for it, but I think you see the reasons why. You can also take no action. I'll report that to the council, or you could oppose it, and I would report that to the City Council, too. It's mostly just a chance for you to review it, give us comments, take a position if you like.
On the letter here, would be the only fee for commercial fishing, the commercial fishing slip monthly rate per foot, is that the only fee that she's maybe requesting to keep the same? Is that correct?
Some of them are on the T-piers.
I'm going to take a quick look at it, but I think that's specifically what she's asking about.
Is that correct, Rick?
I haven't seen the letter, so I don't know.
Yeah.
The Harbor Department, what is your feeling on that letter? I mean, can you give us a, I mean, do you feel that they should have some justification of maybe keeping the rate the same and everything else, or is that discrimination?
I haven't seen the letter again. I'll repeat that. But our slip fees are reasonably low already for commercial fishing vessels. There would be, the increase would take them to $3.90 per foot. For a 36-foot boat, that's roughly $160 a month. I have heard that the last, you know, private slips, I think, are probably double that in most cases, that for recreational vessels in the harbor or something along those lines, of course, depending on each situation. But, and I've heard of even more than double that. So our fee structure is fair. I will say that we will recommend that the fee increase go across the board. I am very well aware of the distress and the economic factors in playing commercial fishing, and I don't feel good about it, but I think that we should probably raise them, all the fees together.
The letter does say it's, would that be for this year anyway, huh?
For this year anyway. Yeah. Reevaluate mm-hmm. next year. I mean, maybe things will get better, but.
Well, does someone want to put forth a recommendation specifically related to this list and to the commercial slip issue? And then we'll second the recommendation and vote on it.
I'll make a recommendation that we approve the department fee schedule worksheet, with the exception that the commercial fishing slips monthly rate would be 6.25 change.
So you're saying half?
I'm recommending half, yes.
Okay. I'll second.
Question then, that would be for the commercial fishing slips. If other commercial fishermen are around, like on the T-pier or something like that, those who actually turn in fish tickets, theirs would then go up the 12%, or would you hold those to the 6% as well? Would they be included as all commercial fishing boats?
I'm going to just say the commercial fishing slips.
Okay, the recommendation has been made by Gene and seconded by Bill that the Harbor Advisory Board approve the list of scheduled fee increases, with the exception that commercial fishing slips be raised by 6.25% rather than the 12.10%. Are there any further questions? All those in favor of the recommendation signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Recommendation passes.
Thank you. Would you like me to give you the status report real quick?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Tall Ship Links is going to be in town on March 20th. And these, you know, keep in mind, people out there watching too, that there's always variability in weather. But the dates set for now are March 20th through March 30th. Part of that time, we expect them to be tied up at the North Tea Pier. They'll be conducting some repairs. Part of the time, probably more on the weekends, they'll be down at Marina Square area or in mid-Embarcadero to board passengers and to conduct their usual activities. You can contact the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce if you want to know more about it or learn more about their schedule and their activities, 772-4467. Our summer beach lifeguard flyers are out. I don't think we're closing. So we're closing on March 31. So you still can pick up an application and turn them in if any folks interested in beach lifeguarding. And I think the junior lifeguard coordinator position is open now too. We've got there's a marine interest group meeting next week, March 12th, 6 to 9 p.m. at the community center. Blessing of the Fleet is April 20th. That's always a great event. The Morro Bay Parade is April 26th, and the Kite Festival is April 26th at the Rock. That was a huge success in its first year last year, and really a lot of fun. I doubt if we'll get the same weather. That was a pretty spectacular day, but you never know. I did include our statistics that we compiled for the management audit that's going on with the city, and I thought they were interesting. I thought you might enjoy them, too. We do expect a report from the folks creating this management audit in April. And that'll be something the city's going to be watching and talking about quite carefully, I think, because it may have some controversial recommendations in it. That'd be the end of my report.
Thank you very much. Additional comments. Start with you, Gene. Anything to comment on? Michelle?
No.
Lynn? Bill?
No. Only thing that whatever happened to the newspaper stands? I was just curious about that. I was just popped in my head. That was your project, wasn't it, Jim?
Yes, and I've heard that that progress is being made. The city attorney is working on an ordinance, and there's a very tentative possibility that the new ordinance will be before the city council in July. Okay.
Is there any kind of action we could take on sewage spills into the creek that come into the back bay?
Well, you could, if you put it on your agenda, you could discuss it and formulate a recommendation to council, but nobody's for them that I know. So, I've
put that you just mentioned on the agenda, or discussion of the sewer spill. Okay. Any other topics for future agenda?
Two that, again, I think that we, you know, whether it be next week, and I think Rick asked to do the liveaboard situation, just how we enforce it and whether or not we should, do tie, what is it?
Tabs.
Dye tabs, yes. and just look at that whole procedure and what we do and what the Harbor Department does. And I know that they said, like, I still like to talk about that a little bit more. And then also the Back Bay Marina.
We reflected that agenda item, I think, in June.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I want to make a note maybe before somebody brings it up. We had in your minutes, we had said tentatively we might give you a report on Greenway, on the wave energy. And we've not able to do it in April, but we got a neat opportunity to have a presentation from a person who's going to the Global Marine Energy Conference in New York in mid-April. So that's one reason why we'd like to schedule that for May, and I think he'll bring us a presentation. It's actually a Cal Poly grad student who's working for us in engineering, and he's really taken an interest in this, and I think he's going to do a good job making a presentation to you. And he is going to be able to attend that conference in New York, which should be very interesting. So that'll be in May, not April.
So it'll be May, yeah. Where did these other items talked about for the agenda prior to tonight, like the liverboard? We haven't had that on the agenda for a while, have we?
Yeah, that's for June.
Was that for June?
Yeah,
oh,
June.
Okay.
And
the sewer spill and the, a review of the state park marinas. Has there been anything happening with that?
Yeah, we're spending money on the environmental impact report, and there's a fair amount of work that goes on, but it's not in a form I'm feeling comfortable about reporting to you yet.
Okay.
You could leave that in May. That's what we had at the last. It may be that I'll ask you to push that back into summer even, but we'll see.
Okay. Okay, any other? Yes.
Yeah, Jeremiah's offered to have a discussion or a presentation as to the various fisheries and the gear that they use, that
okay.
kind of thing. I would very much be interested in that.
Okay. We can contact him and see if he can get one of his fellow commercial fishermen to come in and tell us about the fisheries that they're involved in.
I like to see that every meeting.
Okay, well.
You know, one aspect okay. of the commercial fishing.
He probably would.
Sport fishing too. I mean,
probably would see. Be happy to do that. Anything else? All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and passed and seconded, voted on. We're adjourned.
Thank you.